Today on Sports Card Investor, it's my three best and my three worst deals from the year. I look back at a busy year of deal making and tell you what I got right and what I got wrong.
My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies, and at night, I invest in sports cards. Join me and my team as we help you profit from the hobby we all love.
Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to a very self-reflective episode. You see, we're getting here towards the end of the year, so this is the time when all of us start looking back at the year that was. And for me, that means looking back at the many sports card deals that I made over the course of this year and seeing which ones went really well and which ones didn't go so well at all. And today, I'm going to share with you my three best and my three worst from this year so far. And of course, this episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay is here for the card collectors with a trick for every trade, like advanced tools for price checking with Price Guide Beta within the eBay app and up to 50% faster listing with the image scan. Learn how collecting just got smarter at ebay.com/tradinghub. Guys, I've got to interrupt real quick to let you know that next week is the biggest giveaway in the history of the sports card hobby. We are giving away almost $40,000 worth of boxes, worth of accessories. It's insane. Our friends at eBay have given us boxes of National Treasures and Immaculate. We've got Prism Hobby boxes. We've got 1996 basketball boxes. We've got MetaZoo from our friends at MetaZoo. Topps and Panini have given us boxes to give out as well. And we're giving it all out as part of our virtual holiday card show, which is free to attend streaming live on this YouTube channel starting next Tuesday. And what you need to do right now is go register for it, totally free. Just go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on Virtual 2021 in the main menu bar, register for free, be part of these giveaways and what promises to be an incredible show. All right, guys, let's talk about these three things that went really well for me this year and these three things that didn't. Let's start with one that went really well, though. And I'm going to take you back to the Dallas Card Show in May of this year. And it was there that I met a very, very nice gentleman who had this Justin Herbert Kaboom card for sale. And this was not just any Justin Herbert Kaboom card. This is his Kaboom Gold rookie card, number to 10. Now, you know how crazy the sports card market is over Kaboom cards right now. And to have his rookie card in gold number to 10, this was a card that absolutely caught my attention. I looked at the card really closely. I wanted to make a deal with him on the card, but I did think the card wasn't in perfect condition. I thought it was a bit off-centered, and I thought that it had a little bit of a soft corner. And since it was only raw and not graded, I was a little bit weary of how much I would be willing to pay for the card because I wasn't sure how good it was going to grade. But him and I negotiated back and forth, and we eventually agreed to a price of $7,000 for that card, and I made the purchase. Then I went to the National at the end of July, and I walked that card up to BGS to have it graded while I was at the National. And ladies and gentlemen, look at how this card graded. I was shocked to see that that card got a 9.5, true gem 9.5, 9.5 in all of the subgrades. I was shocked in a great way. I was absolutely thrilled. As I said, I thought the card was a little off center, but maybe I just don't know how to evaluate the centering on Kabooms. Or maybe the grader wasn't sure how to evaluate the centering on Kabooms. I don't know which one, but I am thrilled that that card got a gem mint, true gem, 9.5s all around in all the subgrades. So what is that card worth today? Well, recently, Tua's exact same card, his gold Kaboom card, number to 10 from 2020, sold on eBay for a little over $18,000. Now, that card was in PSA 10 condition. This one's BGS 9.5. But Justin Herbert's cards are currently selling for 4 to 5x what Tua's cards are selling for. So even with a little bit of a discount for being BGS 9.5, I still think this card is probably worth $40,000 to $50,000, a card that I paid $7,000 for just a few months ago. Definitely one of my best deals of the year. But it was at that same exact Dallas card show in May that I also made one of my worst deals of the year. And this was actually the most controversial trade deal that I've ever done on this channel. Controversial because you guys let me know about it. In fact, people hated on me in the comments when I made this trade on my channel. And you know what? All of those commenters, all of you out there, you were probably right, because the way that it turned out, this trade deal was not in my favor. And if you recall, what I did was I traded a 2003 SP Signatures Upper Deck Michael Jordan card. It was a PSA 10 with a PSA 10 autograph from Michael Jordan himself. And I traded that card for a James Harden rookie card, as well as a LeBron card and a couple of Randy Moss cards. And people killed me in the comments, especially because it was said on that show by the people buying it that that Michael Jordan card was a pop one card. So the commenters went nuts that I had traded away a Michael Jordan pop one autograph card from 2003 for a James Harden rookie card, of all things. Now, I will say the trade I didn't think was quite as crazy at the time for a few reasons. First of all, while that Michael Jordan card was a pop one, it was a pop one as a PSA 10 with an auto grade of 10. It was actually a pop seven in simply PSA 10. Still a very, very rare card, but there were other cards out there of the same quality where the people just hadn't bothered to get the autograph graded, like this card had the autograph graded. So not quite as rare of a true as a true pop one card would be. Additionally, this card was from 2003, so it was after Michael Jordan's playing years with the Chicago Bulls. He was in a Chicago Bulls jersey. This was after Jordan retired altogether. And so to me, having a card from after a player is already retired, released in a new set, just doesn't have quite the same value or collectability as a card from when that player is actually playing. And I checked with a friend of mine who is a massive, massive Michael Jordan collector, and he said the same thing. He said that he felt like that card wasn't as big of a chase card. It wasn't a card that he would particularly covet or desire because it was a card from after Michael Jordan's playing days were done. So for all of those reasons, I didn't mind trading away that Michael Jordan card. But the problem comes into play what I traded it for. And I traded it for a James Harden 2009 Topps Chrome Refractor card in PSA 10. Now, this is an extremely rare card too. That's only a pop 24. And that is one of James Harden's absolute most desired premier rookie cards. About the best of the best as you can get for James Harden rookie cards, and only 24 of that card in existence. So at the time, I was satisfied with what I had traded it for because I thought that the Nets were going to go on and win a championship. And I thought that James Harden was going to get his first ring. And I thought that the Nets might be at the beginning of a dynasty where they might go on and win two or three or four championships together. And I thought that the Nets winning that first championship was going to cause that card to rise in value. And that's why I made the trade. Of course, in retrospect, we all know what happened. The Nets were injured and Harden himself was injured a lot, didn't make it through the playoffs. That team just never was able to get by the Bucks and fell short of all expectations. Harden's cards have gone down as a result. He's struggling some this year. So as a result, in retrospect, trading that for a James Harden rookie card, not a very good idea. I did get a couple of other cards thrown in as well. I got LeBron James Topps Chrome rookie card and BGS 9.5 thrown in, and a couple of Randy Moss Topps Chrome rookie cards thrown in as well. Those are all great cards. I like all of those cards for the long run, but yeah, I kind of wish I could have had that trade back right now. So now I'm going to show you one that went better, one of my best deals from the year, and it involves not just this card, but an entire sequence of one-of-one Kyler Murray rookie cards. Look at these absolutely incredible cards that I am showing you. All of these cards are true one-of-one Kyler Murray rookie cards. An absolutely incredible collection of cards. You've got on-card autos, you've got NFL Shield patches, you've got Nike patches, and you've got rookie cards, all of them. Absolutely an incredible collection of Kyler Murray rookie cards. I got this, in my opinion, for an absolute steal. I bought this on Golden Auctions. It was part of the public auction back in March that everyone could have seen, but it was kind of deep in the auction, and there were actually 13 cards in this Kyler Murray one-of-one lot that were sold together at the auction. And what I found is that sometimes when people sell cards in lots, they don't end up getting as much value. People sometimes buy the whole lot for a little bit of a discount versus what all of the individual cards were worth. I think people were simply overlooking this collection because, first of all, it was a big lot and it would have taken a lot of time for people to kind of price out all the individual cards. And second of all, those cards are all really hard to price because it's hard to get comps on a one-of-one card and knowing what it's worth. So as a result, a lot of people just, I think, skip by that item in the auction. Well, I didn't. I paid a lot of attention to it, and with buyer's premium, I bought 13 Kyler Murray one-of-one cards for about $7,500. At the time, I thought it was a steal. Now, I think it's even more of a steal. At this most recent Dallas card show that I went to, I actually traded one of the best cards from that lot. I traded his National Treasures patch card for a Josh Allen rookie card from National Treasures, his Colossal, with an on-card auto number to 5. And the guy who I did the trade with, Ivan and I, valued both cards at around $20,000. So that one card alone, I got about $20,000 worth of trade value for. And that was just one of 13 cards that I bought for a total of about $7,500. I believe all of the rest of the cards that I still have today are probably worth about another $20,000 to $30,000 combined, meaning I got probably about $50,000 worth of value from a $7,500 auction purchase back in March. But now let me take you back to the Miami card show, where unfortunately I made one of my worst deals of the year. It was at that card show that I picked up just a very standard Kobe Bryant card, his 1996 Topps rookie card in PSA 10 condition. I paid $5,000 for that card at the card show. And at the time, what I'm honestly embarrassed about now is that in the card show video, I said it was a no-brainer. I said it was a no-brainer that that card was going to go up because of the fact that Kobe Bryant was going to have his Hall of Fame induction ceremony in the months ahead. So I thought that there was going to be a lot of hype around Kobe Bryant's cards at the time that happened. What I unfortunately didn't account for was a lot of that hype was already built into the prices of Kobe Bryant's cards, and a lot of iconic cards had already slid down from their February highs, but they continued to slide down over the course of the entire summer. And Kobe Bryant's cards in particular tumbled along with them. That card that I paid $5,000 for is worth about half that today. And I bought a handful of Kobe Bryant cards earlier this year, and unfortunately, all of them have gone down in value quite a bit. That hope that the Hall of Fame ceremony was going to give them a bump didn't happen. What I have to hope for now is that over the long run, collectors and investors will continue to remember that Kobe Bryant is one of the GOATs, and that they will hopefully there will be a return to collecting and investing in Kobe Bryant cards in the years ahead. We'll see. There is a 10-part documentary about Kobe Bryant that is going to come out next August of 2022, called The Black Mamba. Maybe that will give his cards a little bit of a boost, but what we have discovered is that the sports card market has become a lot smarter, and people now anticipate things like documentaries, and they anticipate the prices that could fluctuate as a result. So it seems like a lot of that already gets baked into the card prices well in advance. And you don't really see that bump anymore when something like that comes out like you used to when The Last Dance came out last year. So watching this Kobe Bryant card and others that I bought get cut in value by half this year, definitely not a great thing. Definitely one of my not so good investments from this year. Okay, for my last two, for my last great investment and for my last worst investment, these are actually my biggest two. My best from the year and my worst from the year. And it's ironic that it's two of the absolute goats. Two of the goats. One, which has turned into an incredible investment, and one that has turned into a horrific investment, at least for now. So the really incredible investment is when I bought Michael Jordan's 1986 Fleer PSA 10 rookie card at the absolute low point of the market this year. Because I watched these cards fall in value. They had that crazy high value in January where a couple of these cards went for over $730,000. And it was in June when I was able to buy this card at auction for $218,000. Just a few months after this card had sold for over $730,000, I was able to buy it for $218,000. And I was watching all of the graphs and data really closely in Market Movers, and I felt that was going to be the low point of the market on this card. So I bought that card for $218,000, and that's one that I timed perfectly. It's been the lowest sale of a Michael Jordan PSA 10 card this year because they went immediately up after that time that I bought this one in June. A few of these have sold recently for an average of $350,000. Now, this is the second one I own, the first one I paid more for, but this one is going to make a great flip for me this year. That was one of my best investments of the year. But it was another goat that made one of my worst investments of the year. It was actually, I'm sad to say, LeBron James. And it was LeBron James' beautiful 2003 Topps Chrome Refractor card. And the reason why I got this one wrong was all because of market timing. Everything that I got right about the market timing on that Michael Jordan card, I got wrong on the market timing of when I bought this card. Because I bought this card back in March, when the sports card market was at a real high and LeBron James cards were at a real high. And I paid $265,000 for that card. At the time, I was pretty happy with that because this is a low population card. This is one of LeBron James' absolute premier rookie cards. But today, this card is only worth about $85,000. There have been sales of that card in that range since the time that I paid $265,000 for that card back in March. So even though I love this card as a long-term hold, and even though I do think LeBron James' iconic rookie cards such as this one in the long run will be a great investment and will go out in value, go up in value, it's all about market timing. Overall, it's been a positive year for me, but it hasn't been all good, and I've taken the bad alongside the good. This year has been a good reminder that the sports card market is going to have its ebbs and flows, and it's not always rosy like it was back in 2019 and for the most part, 2020. You've got to be more selective now about finding the cards and finding the opportunities that you think you can time it right and ride the market on an upward trend or find the card that's going to be the next big thing. But you can do it. And I've done it several times this year. It just simply takes more work, more research, and more persistence. And of course, a tool like Market Movers in your back pocket, that certainly helps as well. You guys have heard me talk about Market Movers a lot on this show, but I truly depend on it every time I'm making investing decisions because it helps me make better investment decisions. And if you want to check out Market Movers, go to sportscardinvestor.com and click Market Movers in the main menu bar. All right, guys, what are your best and worst buys from this year? I'd love to hear in the comments below. What did you get right and what did you get wrong? comment below to let me know, and hit that subscribe button and that little bell icon if you haven't already so we can continue to bring you episodes like this. And go register right now for the virtual holiday. If you haven't yet, it's free and it's going to be incredible. You don't want to miss it. Go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on the virtual 2021 in the main menu bar. All right, guys, until next time, enjoy your day. Appreciate it. We'll see you again soon with our next episode. Take care.